So this morning, in honor of Father's Day, I asked three of our members if they would reflect on their own personal experiences of fatherhood. I asked them what surprised them about becoming a father, maybe what were some of the unexpected challenges and unexpected delights. How did their own father prepare them for becoming a father? I'm going to invite them just to come forward now one at a time and share with all of us their thoughts and reflections.
Good morning. My name is Chris Burns. My dad was a smart, honest, and kind man. He was passionate about his chosen trade. After high school, he went to trade school to become a printer. He loved being a printer, and he established his own company. He used family money, his parents' money and relatives' money, his wife's parents' money, every dollar he could scrape together, because printing at that time was a really capital-intensive job. You had to have these big, heavy metal presses. You had to have trays of type that you actually set in order to put the words together. And of course, you had to set them backwards. Guess who had to be taught all that as a child? Yeah. Mm-hmm. His father had been a photographer and run a photography studio during the Depression. And unluckily, it didn't get through the Depression. And his father sold off the last of his photographic equipment to buy that first press and get the business started. A few years later, my father invited his brother into the business, gave him a share of it, and a few years after that, they brought in a third partner, the accountant who had been helping them with all of the financial issues. Turns out that being smart, honest, and kind doesn't necessarily make you a good businessman. And the business never did very well. We ate a lot of government surplus peanut butter and a lot of other government-subsidized foods over the years as things struggled. And as the business got weaker, my father built an ark. Well, he didn't think of it as an ark. To him, it was a 26-foot wooden-hulled sailboat. And he built it in the garage. Now, the garage is only about 12 feet deep, so the boat kind of took out the whole backyard. And it took him years to do, but he succeeded, and it kind of became the center of his life. So for an awful lot of the years, he spent more time with the boat, building it, putting it in the water, taking it out of the water so it would stop leaking, fixing it, putting it back in the water, maybe a little less time with fatherhood, but he was distracted. The business wasn't doing well. And in fact, the business did so poorly that after a certain period of time, his two partners stole it from him. They took the business, they recapitalized it, and they owned it wholly. His ark sank in a storm. My father took up fine woodcraft and built some beautiful small boxes and pieces of effectively art. Quite beautiful. He worked full-time for other people. He took a job and he just did whatever it was that they needed. And it was in printing, so he enjoyed it. He had a good time. But he died from the work that he had to do because they made him use chemicals that were highly carcinogenic, and after a few years of working with them, he came down with lung cancer. During his funeral, his workshop was burglarized, and all of his tools and most of the things he created were all taken. What I learned was probably not what he wanted to teach me, but being smart and kind and good isn't enough, and working hard and being passionate about your work isn't enough. And so I withdrew to some degree. But I didn't rebel the way a teenager normally does. I didn't rebel reacting against my father. I was reacting for him. I felt like I had to succeed in order to carry and he to have a legacy. I'm part of his legacy. This is the year I reached 70, and looking back on my adult life, I see two threads. One is my career. I've been successful. I've traveled the world. And the other's family. And I wasn't there a lot when the kids perhaps needed me or when I could have been there for them. Luckily, my wife was, and she did a fantastic job. And the kids turned out really good. One of them is in public service in the government. Another one is in community service running a veterinary clinic that helps poor people get their animals taken care of, a spay-neuter clinic. They each have two beautiful children, and they are my legacy. My children and my grandchildren are my change in the world, and that's enough. It's enough.
Hi there. My name is Sean Anderson. My wife Heather is sitting over there. And our children, who I thought might still be here, have been wisely taken off to other places. They're like 4 and 7, and they wear mismatched dresses, and they run around crazy a lot. Reverend Megan sent out, you know, kind of some prompts for us to talk about, which she mentioned, and I was thinking over those in which I might like to talk about. I was struggling a little bit when my parents arrived in town yesterday, so I actually got to spend the last 36 to 40 hours with my father. He and my stepmother were visiting from the East Coast, and right now they're at the airport. They left us at about 8 o'clock this morning. But yesterday we were hanging out with Heather and the two of them, and just talking about the fact that I had this thing I had to put together to talk to today, what I might say, and that got us talking about my own childhood and his own fatherhood. We recalled some anecdotes from my sister and I's teenage years that were really funny, but maybe not appropriate for this occasion. He recalled a lot of times where he changed his approach to us because he saw the harm that it was doing, and he thought, oh no, I'm doing this wrong, I gotta switch. And he was a parent who wasn't afraid to make those changes. He and my stepmother both expressed a lot of gratitude that at this point in their lives, they have positive, voluntary, and meaningful experiences and relationships with all of their adult children, and they feel very grateful for that. They really felt that the thing that helped them achieve that was playing with their kids, taking time through every stage of life to play together as a family, whatever that meant, and that experience and that kind of up-close, authentic relationship didn't hide their faults, didn't pretend to be perfect, and the other one was not, has really been what enabled us all to enjoy each other today. My dad has had plenty of challenges. My mother struggled with serious mental illness that led to a nasty divorce and a nastier custody battle. We were little kids. My dad ended up sole custody, single parent of a little boy and girl. Later he remarried a woman who had two children herself. Very different parenting styles, children of the same age. It was a bit of a mess for a while. And then just as it was getting smoothed out, she died in a car accident that almost killed him while we were all teenagers. And now he had four kids because she also had sole custody of her children. So he had four kids, two of whom weren't his, to carry through the last of their teenage years into adulthood. When I think about all of that, I don't know how he did it. He's still here in his young 70s now. My challenges seem small in comparison. I feel like Heather and I, with our challenges, are on pretty solid ground, and we're grateful for each other. We have much more financial security and stability than my father ever did. And we have time and energy to do fun things with our kids, where he was often just trying to work enough to make the money that would hire the babysitter to get the kids from here to there to here to there, and really missed out on a lot because he was just trying to keep that level of it going. Still, though, I think that parenthood is challenging, and I think it was the challenges of having our 8-month-old daughter, Evelyn, back in September of 2011 that brought us here to this fellowship. We felt that just the things that have to be done every day with small children was just keeping our head constantly down on the mundane and the menial, and we needed to find a way to carve out time in our lives for the bigger picture and the bigger things, and that's how we came here. You know, now we've got two little kids who are delightful, but the challenges continue. There's exhaustion, there is frustration, there's conflict. Heather and I have fallen into a habit where the first words we speak to each other in the morning are, "How did you sleep?" And from those couple words, we glean so much. But what we're really sussing out is, you know, as my partner in this, what can I expect from you in the next 24 to 72 hours in the life that we're trying to build together? On a previous visit a few years ago, when Willa, our youngest daughter, was probably around two, we were just chatting with my parents and, you know, talking about what life is like. And, you know, we both work. None of our family lives here. We don't have any hired professional help. And my stepmother's like, you know, "Sean, like, we're kind of in awe of, like, we don't know how you all do it." And I'd had just enough, you know, wine to where I quickly said without thinking, "Oh, it's really easy. We prioritize heavily and we've abandoned long held standards." I was like, you know, so look around, it's all evident. But we're constantly weighing what is the most important to us, what is the most urgent or necessary right now, and what sometimes regrettably we just have to let go. To be the parents we want to be, there are many positive things that we can't pursue, we have to say no to. I've felt that here, where there might be a relationship or a friendship or an activity that really is interesting to me, but, you know, at the end of the day, I count back and I look at the hours and it just doesn't fit right now, and that's okay. The rewards are incredible, though. My sister once asked me what I liked most about being a parent, and I told her it was the openness, trust, and love that a child gives to its parents. And that in my experience so far in life, that has been the unique thing about having children of my own. I won't say that nobody else finds a different place. Nobody else finds it in a different place, but for me, that is where I have found it. I love how each of my kids can be like a whole world to themselves. Like, you get down on their level, you jump into their moment, see what they're thinking about, and you can disappear from everything else in just like that. I love helping them to see whatever their next step is and take it. I really enjoy that. It's great. I hope that it's hard because we're trying to do our best. And I hope that's why we have the challenges we do, is because you should, if you're trying to always find the right balance. I love Evie and Willa, and I'm grateful to be their dad. I love their mother, Heather, and I'm grateful she's my partner in all this. I know my time with them is short and precious, and I want to savor it. Thank you.
I'm Rick Appleton. On this Father's Day, I want to share some thoughts on being a father and a grandfather. Much of my life now centers on my family, being a husband to my wife, a father to our children, and a grandfather to our grandchildren. Some are here with me this morning. I say now because I have the wisdom of the years to reflect on how much I've learned since being a new father many years ago. And I hope I'm better at it now than when I first started. The best part of being a father and a grandfather has been helping our children and now our grandchildren develop their values and their accomplishments and knowledge and their choices in life. My wife and I take pride in these accomplishments. In fact, the two oldest grandchildren just graduated from high school this past week. One headed off for college, while the other going off for training at the elite level in competitive ice skating. College is still a few years off for her. A number of years ago, a friend of ours remarked, "You're so lucky to have such good children." Taken aback, my wife and I replied, "Luck has nothing to do with it," as has already been pointed out. We put in careful and consistent effort. It took hard work. Our lives are focused on our family. When the children were still at home, we had sit-down dinners in the dining room almost every night. Our conversations included any topic, that from pleasant to stressful. Virtually nothing was off limits. We always tried to be available for those one-on-one conversations. After our children went off to college, we remained in our family home for more than 10 years, keeping it as the occasional refuge during those difficult transitions from college to career and to the start of their own families. And of course, family get-togethers are important occasions, and we still have them many times each year. Of course, going to our grandchildren's activities was special for us, whether musical programs, sports events, or other performances. We get to see how their values and ideas are being shaped by those experiences. We drive our grandchildren to some of these activities and find great pleasure in helping out with the chauffeuring. On such occasions, we have conversations about important thoughts and feelings in our grandchildren's lives. We made sure to take our grandchildren on vacation trips to Washington, D.C., to Sacramento, even up the freeway to Los Angeles. We really do cherish the time we spend with our grandchildren, but at the end of the day, of course, we take them home again. That's an advantage which younger parents don't have, although there are sleepovers, and we've done that as well. Perhaps the most significant part of being a parent is the love which binds our family together. 5 months ago, I underwent major surgery, and the whole family unselfishly gave of their love and support. And our informally adopted son even came all the way from New Zealand, a distance of over 10,000 miles, to provide love and support just for that week of my surgery. The overwhelming outpouring of love from all of our three children sustained us during this most difficult time. In closing, we've always hoped that our children and grandchildren would share and acquire our values, and now we know. Our youngest daughter, Sarah, gave pendants to both of our granddaughters graduating from high school this past week. The pendants have an image of that celestial beacon, the North Star. On each pendant is a disc engraved with the geographical coordinates of home. What a beautiful metaphor for the importance of home and family, values that we share in common with our children and our grandchildren.